words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today we celebrate the Feast of the Transfiguration. So most of us will know the story. Jesus goes up the mountain with Peter, James, and John. He is transfigured before their very eyes. And Peter is so astounded that he wants to build huts up there and live up there forever. But they come back down the mountain, back into real life, back into Jesus' journey towards the cross. Actually, what they come back down to is a failed healing. If you keep reading the rest of the ninth chapter of the Gospel of Mark, they actually arrive back to discover the other disciples are being accosted by this very angry father whose son is possessed by an evil spirit. The father has gone to the disciples for a healing for his son. But as Jesus and Peter, James, and John draw near to the crowd, you know, having walked many hours down from the mountain, they realize that the disciples' attempt at healing this boy has failed. And Jesus becomes very deeply frustrated, and he has to do it all himself. He says, "Ah, you faithless generation, how long do I have to babysit you? Do everything myself." That's what they actually walk back down the mountain to. So Jesus up in glory, Jesus down in the valley, very frustrated because his disciples really, you know, are like not capable of doing a particularly good job in that moment. The opposite of the blissful glory up on the mountaintop. So we're going to dig into this story a little bit before we draw some of our spiritual lessons for today. Up on the mountaintop, there can be no doubt that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the Son of God. There he is. He is surrounded by blinding light. He's dressed in snow-white robes. Moses and Elijah are with him on each side. They're speaking collegially with him. Many stained glass windows show Jesus actually levitating off the ground. Like, there can be no doubt. This is Jesus, the Son of God. And then, just to cap it all off, the voice of God Almighty speaks, proclaiming him Son and Lord, and dispelling any lingering doubt that Peter, James, and John might possibly have had. This is like Jesus in capital letters. Jesus, the Messiah, the Holy One of God. No wonder Peter wants to build a hut and live up there. Wouldn't all of us like to live up there where there can be no longer any doubt? Wouldn't it be such a relief to live in the land of certainty forever and ever, in the place where it is so perfectly obvious that Jesus is the Messiah? No wonder Peter wants to live up there. But Jesus knows, even if Peter doesn't, that the plan isn't actually to live up there on the mountaintop, because Jesus still has work to do down in the valley. And so they head back down, down in the valley where doubt and uncertainty are the order of the day. The other disciples are trying to perform a miracle, but presumably their own doubt and uncertainty is getting in the way. They can't quite believe that they're actually going to do it, like cast out this demon. They're like, going to give it a try. But they can't actually believe that it's going to happen. They can't actually believe that Jesus is Lord so thoroughly that they can cast out demons in his name without him even being there. But here's the thing. Jesus is Lord just the same down in the valley as he is up on the mountaintop. Jesus wasn't more the Holy One of God up there than he is down here. Jesus wasn't more the Messiah up there than he is down here. It is just as true down here as it was up there. It is just as true down here in the mess and the muck of our lives, only it's harder to see. And it's harder to believe. Well, Jesus challenges us to believe it, to believe that what happened on the mountaintop is true, and it's true down here too. Yesterday, a number of us had a mountaintop experience. I don't know, maybe that's not what everybody would have called it. It was not beautiful or radiant or overflowing with pure unadulterated joy. It was the second of our Healing Past Hurts workshops, and it was sad, and it was hard, and it was painful, and it was difficult, and it was so, so glorious. It was a taste, an experience of what we can be together as a community when we are vulnerable and honest and courageous, and when we will not let ourselves be held down under the water of the bad experiences in our lives. We came together and we trusted that Jesus would work in our midst. And we let down our barriers with each other. And Jesus showed us a vision of who we can become as a parish. Jesus transfigured us just for a moment, showing us a vision of who he can help us become. Well, for those of us who were there yesterday, today we're down the mountain. And everything might look a little harder. Everything might seem a little messier. It might be a good deal harder to see Jesus working in our midst. Whereas yesterday, his fingerprints were everywhere, opening our hearts and helping us go deeper and helping us have faith and courage. Today, the shining evidence of his glorious presence may be a lot harder to see. And it might be a lot harder to believe, especially for those who weren't up on the mountain. But it is no less true down here than it was over there. It is no less true that Jesus is at work in our midst. It is no less true than we can become that congregation in truth, full time, not just on special occasions, and not just for some people. Because the other part of the story of transfiguration is this: Peter couldn't wait for Jesus to be Lord all the time. That's why he wanted to stay there. He wanted it to be real, and he wanted it to be now. But there was still waiting that had to be done. There was still work that had to be done. It wasn't yet time. Well, I can't wait for our parish to be full-time what we saw is possible yesterday. The promise is there. It is in us to become that community where our pains and our hurts don't hold us down, they strengthen and transform us. Where we trust Jesus and we open our deepest hearts to him and we receive new life where there has been death. Where we stand in solidarity with one another and we become together more than any of us can become alone. Where the words of faith that we speak with our mouths are lived powerfully in our lives and in our relationships. Where we believe that reconciliation is possible and we experience it. Where we believe that restoration is possible and we experience it. Where we believe in the risen Lord working in our midst, and we see it and we say, amen, hallelujah. We can become that people. We can become that parish. Yesterday showed us that that is possible. God has set in our midst, a promise, a vision. And now we come back down the mountain, and it's no less true down here. Jesus is no less the Lord. Jesus is no less at work down here in our midst every ordinary day of our lives. It's just harder to believe. It's just harder to see. And there's still work waiting to be done before that deep heart of our parish, just as Jesus was revealed as his truest self on the mountain, there is still work to be done before our truest heart, which was revealed yesterday, can be the truth of this parish. Our facilitator yesterday, Brian Way, invited us as a congregation to take Lent this year and to pray for the transformation of our parish, to pray for the healing that still needs to happen, to pray for Jesus to work powerfully in our midst, and to pray that as we walk through Lent and as we approach Easter and we proclaim the resurrected Christ on Easter Sunday, that we ourselves would experience the joy of the resurrection living in our hearts, bringing new life where there has been death, in our midst, in our hearts, and in our lives. For Jesus is Lord, now and forever. Whether he is shining in dazzling robes, or whether he is hidden in the most mundane of our interactions down here in the valley, he is Lord. May we see him here, in our lives, in our parish, in our community, and God willing, may we see him at work in the world. Amen.